I'm Dimae Roberts, stage and studio. We're listening to music by Pink Martini from their Sympathique CD. Find out more about their music at pinkmartini.com. Hey, it's been 2 months since I've done a live show here on KBOO on stage and studio, and I want to give a shout out to my guest hosts that helped fill in during that last 2 month break while I was being an actor at Artist Repertory Theater. Thank you so much to Sarika Mehta and James Dixon and Susanna Mars and Tave Fashe Drake, who filled in with many shows during the last 2 months. But I'm back and with a live show today, and we're going to feature two shows at Profile Theater that just opened last weekend, Water by the Spoonful and The Happiest Song Plays Last by Chiara Alegria Hudis. Both plays are running in repertory till November 19th at Profile Theater. We're going to talk to artistic director Josh Hecht and actor Anthony Lamb, who are both in the studio today, and Anthony's actually in both shows, so we're going to find out more about that. So stay tuned for this live edition of Stage and Studio. I'm Dimae Roberts. Oh gosh, I've said this already, but we are live in the studio, and with me in the KBOO studio are artistic director Josh Eck. Welcome back.
Thank you.
And actor Anthony Lamb from Profile Theater's production of Water by the Spoonful and Happiest Song Plays Last. Welcome to Stage and Studio.
Thank you.
This is your first time here, Anthony.
This is. I'm excited to be here.
Well, it's great to have you here. Both shows by Chiara Alegria Hudis are running in rotating repertory till November 19th at Profile Theater, and it's great to have you both on Stage and Studio. Now, you just opened two plays last weekend, and you both must feel a sense of relief, you know, because I can't imagine for either of you as an actor and as a director how that tech went with two different shows.
Right.
How long was the tech rehearsal process? About 2 weeks?
We had 2 weeks of tech. We had 8 weeks of rehearsals. It was a lot. Our lighting designer, Carl Faber, said he felt like his butt was sealed to the chair in the theater.
How that feels.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, because you have to keep watching and watching to make sure everything's
right. That's
right. I just can't imagine also just with set changes and everything too.
Right. Yeah, a whole crew comes in at 11 p.m. at night and changes over the set until about 1 a.m., and we have a whole new set in the next day.
And this is happening during the performance process, too?
Yeah,
Right,
every night.
Wow, every single night. That's just freaking amazing. I don't know of too many places, actually, I'm trying to think of theater history here, that have done rotating rep in 2 weeks like you're doing.
Yeah.
Or 3 weeks.
Right.
Yeah, I can't think of anything. And I've been here for a very long time, so I can't think of what else. So you might be setting a precedent, Josh. Have you heard that?
I like it.
Yeah?
He's an ambitious man.
Yeah, I get that. That's totally ambitious, what you just pulled off here. So, Josh, have you produced in rotating repertory before?
I haven't, but you know, so our mission at Profile, we do a single season centered around a playwright. And when we selected Chiara Hudis, we knew that we wanted to do her Elliot trilogy. And we knew we wanted to do the whole thing. And so these two plays, one is the sequel of the other, and there are two characters who run through both plays, and we felt that by doing them together, we could really expansively profile an entire community.
Well, you know, you said there's two characters that run through the entire trilogy of the Elliot. So Elliot is played by Anthony Lamb. What's the other character that runs through?
Yaz, his cousin and best friend, played by Crystal Ann Munoz.
I see. Okay. All right. Well, that totally makes sense. So I'm going to talk more with Anthony in a second about his role. But what was the biggest challenge in doing this?
I mean, frankly, just the scale of it.
Yeah.
And keeping our stamina up, I think, for
stamina is a big deal, isn't
Absolutely,
it?
Absolutely.
Oh,
yeah.
My gosh.
Luckily, this cast has been a real love fest with one another. And so that helped buoy us along, because with a 2 month process, it could all go south very easily if we don't all really love each other and love working with each other.
Yeah, that helps so much, doesn't it? But is that the biggest challenge with stamina? What else? I mean, I have to imagine that even doing the budget and figuring that out.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But also the scheduling for everybody.
The scheduling, Also, just the amount of stuff we're doing in the theater building itself. We removed about 100 seats from the Alder stage to create 4 new playing spaces all around the room.
And this is at the Artist Repertory Alder stage that you're performing at.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So there's the main playing space in the center, and there's 4 other playing spaces all around the audience. And the scale of the production is bigger than many Artist Rep shows. So we really stretched what the shop was able to do, what we were able to do as a producing organization. But I think it's the whole of it is impressive.
Well, yeah, and just being able to do that, and because you also have, just in looking at your schedule, you'll have a matinee in one show, and then an evening show is going to be the other show.
Right, which is my favorite way to see the shows.
Yeah, that's interesting. So people could spend the whole day, take a big dinner break. In case you just joined us, you're listening to Stage and Studio, and we're featuring Profile Theater's new productions, which are The Water by the Spoonful and The Happiest Song Plays Last by Chiara Alegria Hudis. And if you missed any of the show so far, if you want to hear it again, visit stageandstudio.org or kbu.fm/stageandstudio. Or if you want to follow along, I have a lot of information and links at that, both those web pages. Anthony Lamb, you were in, yes, you know, to be in 2 shows at the same time, but also you're carrying forward the play that you, and the character that you did in Elliot, A Soldier's Fugue, which was last February.
Yes.
So can you, like, just give us some insight into just how you maintain this character throughout these 3 different plays?
Yeah, absolutely. So Elliot, the first play starts out with Elliot. You see him going into war, and you see the 19-year-old that he is, prior to going to war. He was 17, actually, and this bravado and larger-than-life, you know, very close to his family, tight-knit. And then you see what happens to him when he goes to war, and he tries to come back, and things are different, you know, what he saw and experienced in war, and him desperately trying to communicate with his father, who also went to war, and what that the turmoil it causes him. And then,
and we're talking about which
the
war?
The first one. The Iraq war for Elliot. His father went to Vietnam, and then his grandfather was in the Korean War. So it's 3 generations. And then we move flash forward to Water by the Spoonful, and that's 6 years later, and he's home, and again he has this he's lost his sense of identity. His community is kind of gone because he feels isolated. He can't relate to anyone. And all he has is his cousin, Yaz. And they're close. They're like brother and sister, basically. But again, they grew up, they were raised different, on different sides of the tracks.
Well, you know? Plus he's a vet, you know.
And he's a vet.
Yeah.
And it's wonderful because they have this wonderful understanding. She nurtures him and loves him and doesn't judge him. And that's why they remain close. And yet he works at Subway Hoagies. And he's doing something that he basically left to make sure he didn't do. You know, he didn't want to stay in his hometown and work at this Subway Hoagies.
And so his life didn't change like he wanted it
exactly.
to change.
And on
even
top
though
of
he's
it, add,
changed.
And add to the fact of everything he saw in war.
Yeah.
And so, so for me, you know, having played Elliot in the past and then coming back to it, because I identify so much with him in terms of family and community and this bravado, I can remember, you know, my youth in that time, like it was yesterday, and I tap back into that. And so I found it like a special thing to be able to do that on stage and just all the turmoil that he dealt with and find stuff in my life to relate to him. Obviously, I didn't go to war or anything like that, but it really helps to have people come and volunteer their time to talk to us about their experience in war. And for me, that's enough. When I see their face and I hear their stories, it's just so powerful and so strong that, you know, I.
So
I'm
you can
to
honor them
that.
Too. That
and
yeah.
honor, yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, honor
like,
their stories.
How, you know, how do you salute properly, and how do you know, make sure everything looks accurate, you know, because I want to represent as truthfully and honestly as I possibly can.
And then in The Happiest Song Plays Last, you get to fast forward even further, where Elliot is doing this whole other journey on a film set.
Right. Yeah. So that flashes forward 1 year, which is why I think Josh was brilliant in terms of bringing them, doing them.
Yeah, those back two plays aren't too far.
Right.
Yeah, apart.
So, and you kind of, I feel, or the way I read the stories is the way Water ends, it kind of leaves you on a cliffhanger, and you want to know what happens to Yaz, what happens to Elliot. And so for us, it's like, here you go. If you want to know, come back tonight or come back tomorrow. And it's fresh in your mind, and these characters are so, they stay with you. And so you end up rooting for them and making sure everything works out. And right. Happiest is kind of putting the pieces together.
That's kind of nice not to have to wait a year for a sequel, right?
Yeah, exactly. You know?
Well, you know, and it's just fascinating too, because I can't think of any other, I don't know, way that an actor, other than say a soap opera role where you can follow through consecutively mm-hmm. a person's storyline
right.
and their character and watch them grow and yeah. age a bit,
right.
you know?
Right.
I don't know in theater how much of an opportunity mm-hmm. you get to do that.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's the other thing too. Like you said, you hit it right on the head. I mean, I couldn't, if I had to wait like 2 years to do Water and 2 years to do.
It's a different thing, isn't it?
Yeah,
absolutely. Because with it fresh, you're able to remember what you did last right. February, hopefully.
Right, right, right. Absolutely.
And you're carry right. that through.
Yeah.
What a great opportunity for you.
100%.
Yeah.
Thank you, Josh.
It doesn't sure. happen very often.
No, not
in
at
fact,
all.
Probably not at all. So. Right. Yeah. Yeah, that's great. Well, let's talk about the plays. We talked a little bit, you know, a little bit about the plays, but Water by the Spoonful and The Happiest Song Plays Last by Chiara Alegria Hudis, who's a Pulitzer Prize winning playwright. And
for this play.
And yes. for this play, for Water by the Spoonful. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm wondering if you can just give us like a little bit of an overview, Josh, mm-hmm. of the last two plays, the sure. plays that you're doing now.
So as Anthony said, Elliot's a veteran of the Iraq War. And in Water by the Spoonful, he's really struggling to find his place in the world and is a bit lost and directionless and haunted by an episode that happened during the war. He's living at home and he's taking care of his adoptive mother, Ginny. His birth mother lost custody of him when he was about 5. And now she runs an anonymous online chat room where recovering crack addicts keep each other alive through sharing their experiences. When his adoptive mother dies, Elliot and his birth mother meet again, changing each other's lives forever. And for me, that play is really about the lonesomeness and the way that we keep ourselves hidden from one another. But what I think is so beautiful about it, and what Chiara's written so movingly, is the way that human connection, you know, the smallest touches can sustain and nourish us. So the ending of that play really has a lot of grace, I think. In The Happiest Song Plays Last, it's about a year and a half later, and Elliot, as you said, has found a new career working on a film set in Jordan against the backdrop of the Arab Spring. And Yaz, his cousin and best friend, has bought Ginny's home and taken on her role as a community activist. But when her love and mentor, Agustin, her first music teacher, dies at a local hospital, she starts to question whether small acts of community actually can withstand what can feel like an overwhelming world.
Well, isn't that a big question yeah, for right now?
That's right.
You know, in fact, this morning I had that same freaking question. What right? the hell am I doing?
What
you
do
know,
we do?
Try to do as much good as possible, but can it really change anything?
That's right.
So those are great topics and great questions to ask in a theater production. We actually have a short clip from the Joyce Foundation I'd like to play that is by that features Chiara Alegria Hudis talking mm-hmm. about, you know, because a lot of this is about family, mm-hmm. you know, and she's here in this clip. She's talking about how her family background influenced her writing. Mm-hmm. It's very short. Let's listen.
My mother came from Arecibo, Puerto Rico, when she was about 11 years old, maybe. It was a classic story of looking for a better life. My mother's the youngest, so her mother passed away. Her older sister started to get sick and pass away, and there was this sense of a generation of stories that was all of a sudden disappearing into thin air. So I started interviewing them and writing stories down about what it was like to arrive as a Latina in Philadelphia in the 60s. And the stories were kind of amazing. And it started dawning on me, I hold a key to maybe just a little part of our American story that hasn't made it to the shelves yet. And that, for me, was the key to thinking about my life as a writer. Not seeing oneself and truly one's community members on stage, it's just a breakdown of conversation. It stops a conversation before it even happens. In some ways, my ideal audience member is someone who has never seen themselves reflected on stage and sees that for the first time in my work. And I also, at the same time, think the other side of the coin is that my ideal audience member is someone who doesn't relate to these characters at all and hasn't had these experiences and yet goes for the ride. It's those points of overlap that really turn me on as a writer. You know, it's not just what happens within the boundaries of one community, but what happens when those boundaries touch others and there's exchange.
That was playwright Chiara. Chiara Alegria Hudis. And, you know, I really loved what you said about the perfect audience member being somebody who has not seen themselves reflected on stage. And that's so important these days. Her plays, Pulitzer Prize winning play Water by the Spoonful, and then The Happiest Song Plays Last, are currently running a rotating repertory through November 19th at Profile Theater. All shows are on the Alder Stage at Artist Repertory Theater. That's located 1516 Southwest Alder Street in Portland. And for tickets, you can visit profiletheater.org or call 503-242-0080. That's 242-0080. You're listening to Stage and Studio. I'm Dima Roberts. If you missed any of this interview so far, or if you want to see links to my guests, visit stageandstudio.org or kbu.fm/stageandstudio. And I'm talking, Dima Roberts, talking with Profile Theater's artistic director Josh Hecht and actor Anthony Lamb, who is starring in both shows running repertory. And boy, is he going to be tired in 2 weeks. And so, Josh, I also wanted to let people know that there's a chance to meet the playwright, Chiara Hudis, who is coming to Portland Saturday, November 18th. You want to tell us about that conversation that you're going to have with her?
Yes, we're going to be talking about the role of art in activism, which is something that Chiara is very passionate about, that I'm very passionate about, and how it is that art can play a role in helping have an impact on our world. She's also going to be reading selections from her forthcoming memoir, which comes out next year by Random House. And she's also going to read selections from her newest project called Emancipated Stories, Pages from Those Behind Bars, which attempts to paint a portrait of mass incarceration in the United States through individual stories.
Yeah, I have a lot of respect for her, too. For she was in the news recently, too, because In the Heights was slated to be produced by the Weinstein Company, and she and Lin-Manuel Miranda pulled out of it immediately,
right.
You know, yeah. And I just have a lot, you know, a
she
lot of respect for that.
Of integrity. Mm-hmm.
And also for her work that she's been doing about Puerto Rico relief, too, you know, so there's been a lot going on.
Absolutely, and we've been raising money after the show,
entire
run, to support the Hispanic Federation and their relief
efforts
in Puerto
Rico. That. Oh, so at the end of each show, you're collecting donations?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's awesome. Awesome. Kudos for that. They certainly need it.
That's
right?
For sure.
They certainly need it. So I actually, do you want to, in the time remaining, give like a shout out to the other actors? We mentioned Crystal Muniz, but also Jimmy Garcia's in it. Who else? Hulana is in it.
Hulana Torres, Duffy Epstein.
Oh, yeah, Duffy. Yeah, he's a longtime Portland mainstay.
Yes, and
yeah.
He's wonderful. He plays two different roles in both plays. A gentleman named Wasim Nomani, who's from Los Angeles. Bobby Bermea, Dre Slayman. And Akari Anderson.
Yeah, it's a great cast.
Yes,
great cast,
absolutely.
Of people. And so, it, also in the time remaining, Anthony, you know, this is just my personal curiosity because we worked together for Theater Diaspora for Washer Dryer, where you played a Chinese American. A Chinese American. So, my curiosity as a biracial Asian American myself, I wonder, how is it exploring different parts of your ethnicities? And do you feel more open to be able to do that now in this time period?
Oh, it's wonderful. It's freeing to be able to express myself, you know. Growing up, I, like you said, I associate, my grandfather's Chinese. So, you know, I associate myself with Asian American. And then, you know, growing up in my grandmother's house, it's very Nicaraguan. So Central American is, you know, the flavor of our food and everything. And when we come together, like, there's so many stories that Chiara has in these plays that, like, I can absolutely adapt and, like, to my life. And it's almost as if it happened to me, the experiences with cousins and aunts and uncles and what they say and what they do and how they interact. It's just, it's so fun to be able to do that on stage and to bring that to life, the flavor and I
you
got to
do a solo show about both sides. I want to encourage that.
Oh, yeah.
I think that would be awesome.
That would be really fun, actually.
So what are you doing after these plays at Profile?
I'm going to take probably a really short hiatus and sleep a little bit.
Hang out with the family.
Yeah. Get to see them again. And, you know, we'll see. Take it one day at a time.
This is a big endeavor right now. So obviously rest is probably top on the list. So for Josh, do you want to give a shout out for the playwrights of 2018? Because I'm very excited and I'm hoping you're going to bring Anna Deavere Smith to Portland.
We're hoping to.
That would be so awesome. She is a personal hero of mine.
To many. Yeah, absolutely. She's wonderful. Her schedule is, of course, the most complicated.
Yeah, of course.
Especially she's shooting a television show all year in
LA. Oh, which
LA.
Show? Do you know?
She's on the new Shonda Rhimes courtroom drama.
Oh, I didn't know there was breaking news.
Yes.
Shonda Rhimes, another show with Anna Deavere Smith. I'm there.
That's
I'm watching.
Right. That's right. Yes, so 2018-2019, we're doing an 18-month-long double season featuring the work of Tony Award winner Lisa Krohn and Pulitzer Prize finalist Anna Deavere Smith in conversation all the way through. We're really excited about that. Lisa, for sure, is coming out for a 1 to 2 week residency to develop new work and teach some classes with us through Profile. And we're hoping to bring Anna up as well. And then we'll do several productions from each of them over that whole period of time. The first one starts performances in January, so right around the corner.
So is Lisa actually doing her one-woman show then?
She's
her solo
not.
Show?
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
But I was really pleased that Jane Unger is going to be directing that, who is the originator, founder of Profile Theater.
Yes,
so that's
absolutely.
Full circle.
And
you know?
The actor is Allison Michelson, who was just in Portland Center Stage's production of Fun Home, which Lisa co-wrote. So she will go from playing Alison Bechdel to playing Lisa Krohn.
Okay, so there's some continuity there. Mm-hmm. So, and also just we just have like 30 seconds, but you want to talk about the Veterans Writings event, the reading that's happening on November 13th. That's next Monday night on the Alder stage at Artist Rep.
Yes, we've been partnering all year long with the Writers Guild Initiative to bring award-winning writers to Portland to mentor our local veteran population in a writing practice. We've been meeting every month for the last 8 months, And on the 13th, we'll present selections of their writing read by professional actors, followed by a reception.
Yeah. Are these some of the folks that you talk to as far as, Anthony, as far as background and, you know, help with being a soldier?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm grateful for their time.
Oh, it's all that's great to have that continuity. For more info or tickets about all of these events that we've been talking about, visit profiletheater.org or you can call their box office at 503-242-0080. And Water by the Spoonful, Happiest Song Plays Last, currently running and rotating rep through November 19th at Profile. And check it out and go to stageandstudio.org if you can't remember profiletheater.org. Josh Hecht and Anthony Lamb, thanks so much for joining me today.
Thank you for having us. Have a great rest of the run. Thank you very much.
So it's good talking with you.
And with you.
So next up, I'm going to have a roundup of some other events right after this short break.
Thank you.
And that was from Pink Martini, too, Hang On Little Tomato. So I wanted to give a roundup of events because, you know, every week in Portland, there's so much happening. And it's hard to, you know, to see everything, but there's some great events. I wanted to do a shout out for Exotto, an 80-minute original new work created by Milagro Theater. And that runs through this weekend, November 12th at Milagro Theater. And it's the last weekend. It's a dreamlike movement piece that presents a multicultural look at the Day of the Dead celebrations. Highly recommend it. Talented ensemble of six actors who also give us some lovely movement and dance work. Find out more about Exotto and get tickets at milagro.org. Another show that's closing this weekend is Citizen, an American lyric. It played to sold-out houses at Reed College last weekend. Citizen is by Claudia Rankin, and it is adapted for the stage by Stephen Sachs, directed by Catherine Ming-Tien Duffley at Reed College. It's a performance poetry piece that examines the ways racism pervades daily life in America. The show is at the Divers Studio, at Reed College, located at 3203 Southeast Woodstock. An event that's happening tonight, which sounds fascinating, at Artist Repertory Theater is a chance to see Maasai dancers from Kenya perform. And they're called the Cyrenoka Dance Troupe, and they're a group of 5 to 10 Maasai men and women from Rift Valley province of Kenya. Tickets will be sold at the door through Tuesday at 7:30 p.m. And tickets are sliding scale. It's at Artist Rep, 1515 Southeast Morrison Street in Portland. Also, a shout out for Wisdom of the Elders. They're having a Native Wisdom film screening and community consultation on November 13th. November 11th at 7 p.m. It's at OMSI, which is located at 1945 Southeast Water Street in Portland. And one more just shout out, Hands Up is closing their run at Red Door Project this weekend. And it's, if you haven't seen the Hands Up production, it's about, basically police violence against black men and women, and it's seven plays, short monologues by gifted performers, and that's going to be at Wyden and Kennedy, and it's happening this weekend. So look up Red Door Project to find out where Hands Up is on this weekend. That's it for Stage and Studio. My thanks to Judy Feistel, and next week, you know, you can catch me with three hosts who've been filling in with me for the last 2 months: Susanna Mars, James Sixon, and Sarika Mehta. If you missed any of the show, visit stageandstudio.org or kbu.fm/stageandstudio or download on iTunes. And you can find me on facebook.com/stage, the letter in studio. Till next time, I'm Dee Mae Roberts.